5 o'clock hour here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I want to get you out here because this place is remarkable. It's D-Bat in Avondale. We're giving everybody 30 free swings. And if you want to stay and hit some more, it's half price on the batting cages. And they've got 17 cages. And their pitching machines are unlike anything I've ever been to. You could determine you want the ball low, middle, or high. You could determine the speed that you want the balls to come out at.
Fastball, curveball.
Fastball, curveball. You get to decide whether you want a fastball or a curveball. So we are out here at D-Bat in Avondale. And I was taking a bunch of swings before. You were taking some swings. They're at Van Buren and Fairway. And they're open till 9 o'clock tonight. Bring your kid. Grab your son. Grab your daughter. Just come by yourself. 30 free swings. They got everything here. Literally everything. It's
an amazing
cage. You're
leaving out the best part. They got this virtual reality deal. When you're in the cage, you pick the stadium. Obviously, you picked Yankee Stadium. And when you hit the ball, it judges how hard you hit it and where you hit it. And it shows you where it would land at the ballpark of your choosing. So if you think you tagged one, yeah, see if you can get it to the warning track at Yankee Stadium.
I played one game at Yankee Stadium in my life. One game at Yankee Stadium. Stan Musial All-Star Game. And and batting practice, man, my boys were jacking them out all over the place. I couldn't even get it to the damn warning track.
Right.
Because in left field, it was
There was a short porch in right.
Yeah,
you are a lefty.
I'm a lefty, but I'm a lefty for average. And my power comes from the right side.
Oh, boy.
So I was a disaster, man. I probably took 40 swings, and,
I
couldn't get.
I'm a lefty for average.
Well, you saw me. You were impressed by my switch hitting today.
I will say this. Gambo is a switch hitter. Legitimately.
Yes. Swinging from both sides of the plate and making contact. Although I'll tell you, see some of these kids come in here, man. Some of these kids have these swings like, oh, my God. The bat speed through the zone.
Dude,
these kids
are raking.
I know. I'm getting in there, and I'm feeling really good, man. I'm hitting the ball. Right. I'm at Yankee Stadium. I'm dropping the ball into the outfield, singles, doubles. And these kids are coming in here and just mashing.
Well, anybody that takes the time to get their butts to a batting cage probably is pretty good. Like the guy who brings his own pool cue to the pool hall.
Yeah.
Or to the bar.
Yes.
Like you don't want to play that guy in pool when he brings his own cue.
Man, felt good, man. I thought I was mashing. I felt good. My bat speed felt pretty good. And then I come in and I'm watching these 18-year-old kids swinging. I'm like, geez, my God, the bat speed, the control, the power.
Beautiful facility.
It is a great facility.
Yeah, 30,000 square feet. It's the biggest batting cage I've ever seen. Usually cages have two or three cages.
Yes.
It's got 17 cages.
17. Come on out here, man.
It's like a complex.
They're open till 9. They got 20% off all their merchandise. They got bats, gloves, a fully loaded pro shop, 17 cages. Come on out. It's D-Bat in Avondale, Van Buren and Fairway. They're open till 9. Bring your team. Come on by and check this place out. You'll absolutely love it. All right, Dan Bickley had a great column today on Arizonasports.com about, don't give up on Patrick Peterson. Don't give up on Patrick Peterson. He made a lot of points. He's like, listen, I'm not giving up on this guy. And listen, there were 6 months of issues with Patrick Peterson, and we got to deal with that. And he's got to deal with it. But if he comes back, I'm committed to Patrick Peterson as long as he's committed to coming back and no more nonsense. No more. I want to be here. I don't want to be traded. I'm not going to ask for a trade when I come back in week 7. I'm not going to ask for a trade till the end of the season. I want to stay a Cardinal. If they don't want to re-sign me, then I'll play out my contract and I'll be a free agent. I just simply want that commitment from Patrick Peterson. No more drama. And then I'll agree with Dan Bickley. I'm behind Patrick Peterson, and we shouldn't give up on him.
All right, while I agree with Dan Bickley, the nonsense isn't over. I know it's not voluntary right now, but he's not showing up. Everybody else is there. He's a captain. Okay, he has blown off all of these voluntary workouts.
Different story. Can he be a captain? That's a different story.
When you're a football player in the National Football League, I know it's technically voluntary. You get your butt to these things. It's a new coach. It's a new defensive coordinator. You don't go play golf with Derek Jeter. You don't blame having to pick up your kids at school. You just get there. This is the problem I have right now with Patrick is there's obviously something going on with him in the organization. Okay, that doesn't seem to be over with because he's not there. We know he'll be in mandatory minicamp because it'll cost him money. And this is what's so disappointing. From the day he walked into the organization, this is a guy who has been an outstanding player. He's been an outstanding person. I've enjoyed working with him, getting to know him. He's been a great husband, dad, from what we can tell. He's manicured his off-the-field persona to a T. He's smart. He's polite. He's done everything right. But something has gone south, and it began with him being tired of losing and wanting to get out of this organization that was led by the disaster that was Steve Wilks last year. I get that. Then he made it all go away at the Phoenix Open. When he grabbed the mic, nobody told him to do that. He did it on his own. Then the PED thing happened. Okay, it happened. Okay.
You're upset that he's not going to show up for the voluntary.
Well, after all that, after he did that, why is he not here still? We haven't even gotten into the Instagram snake in the grass stuff yet, which clearly was directed at the Cardinals. You know, so something's going on here. I'm more concerned about the relationship with the Cardinals than I am about the suspension. Okay, the suspension's done. All right, he's going to miss 6 games. I'm more concerned that one of the greatest cornerbacks in the league, if not the best, doesn't want to play for the Arizona Cardinals right now. Okay?
He didn't say that yesterday.
Actions speak louder than words.
Okay.
Okay?
He said he'll be at the mandatory minicamp, but you know what? You could be fined if you're not there.
Well, he's already losing $3.8 million. Of course he's going to go there.
Because that's another $80,000. You don't want to keep losing money in a year when you're losing money. If he did not show up for the mandatory minicamp, that would be the signal that he doesn't want to be here and he wants to be traded. But he would also be fined $80,000. He would lose money each of those 3 days, $80,000. The voluntaries, I agree. I mean, you don't have to be there. The CBA says you don't have to be there. But there is a new coach. There is a new defensive coordinator. There's a ton of new players. There's a rookie cornerback that I'm sure would love to learn from you.
And he's here. He's right down the street.
Right.
Now, I know his answer on the red carpet was, I got to take care of my daughter and get her to school. And, you know, we're not going to get into the whole parenting discussion. But obviously, listen, there's a lot of people that have child care that are listening right now with two working parents that have to pay for child care, including the guy that's talking right now, currently on the clock, back at home, at my house. You know, there are ways around that. You know, that doesn't have to be like that. It's frustrating to me because this is a guy that, you know, it's almost like you've been in a good marriage for 7 years, and then all of a sudden you wake up and it's like your wife is like, who are you? What happened to you? Like, she's going through some midlife crisis. I just feel like Patrick Peterson is going through a mid-career crisis, and I want everything back normal because he's too great of a football player.
I've talked to so many of his friends, man. He just wants to be happy. He wants to be happy. Sure. I mean, winning
is... He wants to win, Gambo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also believe this about Patrick Peterson. I think this is important. I think Patrick Peterson really believes he is blessed with the athletic ability, the persona, the personality, the looks to be a marquee Madison Avenue figure. I think he believes in his heart of hearts that he should be an Aaron Rodgers type in the State Farm commercials, that he should be a Tom Brady type in the magazine ads, getting off the helicopter for the watch ads, right? You know,
that's not happening here.
And he knows that. And that's why.
I mean, does Fitz even have national commercials? He's got local ones, right?
Right.
He's had local ones. Does he have anything national?
No, but I believe Patrick Peterson feels that he should be in that upper echelon. I think he knows he has a window that is short, like all professional athletes do. And the only way he's going to achieve that type of greatness, it's not about market size, okay? Because Aaron Rodgers plays in Green Bay. And we see him all over the place. It's about winning. He knows he has to have the platform of playoff games and Super Bowl games to play in to have that kind of platform. And I think he felt like last October they reached the boiling point that his career was essentially being wasted here with a coaching staff that was completely in over its head. And he had enough. I think Patrick Peterson, the marketing side of him, where he wanted to go with his career, I just think he felt between the losing on the field and what he was losing in terms of where he could be on Madison Avenue, it was not happening for him here, and he wanted out.
Spent some time with Cliff Kingsbury this morning, and One website is saying he's going to have the toughest job of all the first-year coaches. We'll talk about that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Yeah, never the smartest guy in the room, but in the room. In the room's all that matters. Don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. Just got to be in the room.
You know what they say, if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yes.
That's how you get better, Gambo.
I've never been in the wrong room.
You're always in the right room.
All right, Tim Ring filling in for Bernsie, who's off today. And we're talking a little Cliff Kingsbury. I was out at the Cardinals facility today. And then we had a chance to do a sit-down with Cliff Kingsbury and spend some time with him. And it was good, man. I can just tell how jacked he is, how excited he is for Kyler Murray and this offense. And we talked about the tight ends. And we talked about the wide receiver. And just one of the things that was just mind-boggling to me is just the amount of speed that they have. Like I don't even think we've talked about this yet. But, I mean, Andy Isabella's a 4.3 guy. Kirk's a 4.4 guy. Hakeem Butler's like a 4.4 guy. It's just this tremendous speed. I mean, Charles Clay can run quick for a tight end. They got a lot of fast wide receivers. So between Isabella and Kirk and Hakeem Butler, this and David Johnson runs fast.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting.
There's just speed everywhere in this lineup. And that's the thing. That's one of the things I took out of speaking with Kingsbury today. Is just, man, I think he's pretty jacked up about just how much speed that they've got in this lineup. There's going to be a lot of separation that he's going to be able to get for Kyler Murray.
You know, Kyler Murray, we were talking about this last week, probably going to be in the shotgun, what, 98% of the time?
Yeah, shotgun, pistol, whatever you want to call it, that's what he's going to be in.
And I wonder how that will affect the running game with David Johnson. You're getting out of that kind of classic power football that we've seen in the National Football League for such a long time. And when you're constantly trying to run out of the shotgun, it's just going to be interesting to see how David Johnson, who had a obviously horrible year last year for the way he was utilized by Mike McCoy coming out of training camp.
My God, was he one of the worst hires we've ever had here?
Unbelievable. The whole thing.
Man, was that...
Don't even get me started.
Mike McCoy. Oh, my God. I mean, he didn't make it past like the what week did he get fired? What week was that?
McCoy, mid-October, right?
Bradford was gone after three games playing, and then McCoy got fired pretty soon after that. It was really bad.
McCoy and Bradford, and let me tell you something, Mike Bidwell was probably ready to fire Steve Wilks after week two when they got outscored 58-6. It was painfully obvious something was really wrong. Let's not get off on a tangent.
Listen, I was talking with several players, and they were all giving me the same message. Man, he's got to stop blaming us. Man, he's doing a terrible job. Like, he kept saying, it's not, you know what, it's the execution.
We're not executing.
That's blaming the players. Anytime you hear somebody say, we're not executing, he's blaming the players. Right.
We go back and check the tape. Finally, in week four or five, I went to a Monday press conference and I said, Coach or Steve, I said, when you look at what's going on right now, I know you've talked a lot about execution. What type of culpability and fallibility does the coaching staff have right now? I gave him an open door to kind of be like, you know what? Yeah, we all got to get better. We've done some things. He wouldn't do it. I point blank put it on him. Like, come on, man. Show some support for your players. You know, I mean, have you guys done
the end of the season when he was trying to save his ass?
Have you guys done anything wrong?
That's when he started to take some of the blame for himself. You got to take the blame. You have to put it on yourself when your team's not doing. You have to shoulder the blame as the head coach. I didn't have him prepared. I didn't have him ready. I got to go back and figure out a way to be better. I screwed up.
And when they
not
win,
them
right?
Not, we had a great game plan. I don't know why they didn't execute it.
When they win, it's the players. When they lose, it's me.
Right.
And then when you get behind closed doors, you rip them to pieces and you fix it.
Right.
But as the face of the franchise, you don't get out there week after week and blame the players.
We talked about Kingsbury and this SI piece that puts all the new coaches together and says, you know, which one's got the toughest job? And they've got Kingsbury as number one. And I'm not going to go into what they said and everything. Obviously, Kingsbury's going to have a tough job. Coming from college, the ranks. I said to him, hey, what's the biggest difference? Like, honestly, like, you know, you've been in college, and now what's the biggest difference? He's like, I don't have to recruit. I don't have to recruit. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, I don't have to hit the – I could just worry about coaching. I can spend more time – I don't have to recruit at all. So that's the biggest thing for him. Me and you both kind of feel the same way. Because they're implementing a brand-new system, because they're bringing in a whole bunch of new players, this is a two-year fix. I mean, you get 2 years to show progress, not one. Sure, we'd love to see them, you know, improve and win 6 or 7 games or 8 games this year. But it is a 2-year fix to try to get this thing right, to see if this thing even works.
Well, for one thing, there's no way – if you let's just say – You fired Cliff Kingsbury after 2019. There's no way you're going to have 4 head coaches in 4 years. The embarrassment on Mike Bidwell will be preposterous. So just from that standpoint alone, Cliff Kingsbury is going to get 2 years. And because Cliff is kind of tied to Steve Keim now and the way they've rebuilt this thing, plus they've reset the quarterback situation now. You know, they didn't mean to have a starting quarterback as a rookie last year, but they did. And now they're resetting the clock because for the second consecutive year, they're going to have a rookie quarterback again. That buys a lot of people some time because expectations now are extremely low. Very rarely do rookie quarterbacks flat out succeed from a wins-loss standpoint. They may have individual moments of greatness that make you think, wow, we've got something here. He is going to be a great one. But rarely do you see rookie quarterbacks put up playoff caliber seasons. And I know there have been some examples.
But games. It's not seasons. I want
right.
It's games. I didn't see that out of Rosen last year. Where was the 300-yard, 3-touchdown game? And I kept saying, oh, yeah, that it's coming. It's coming. He's going to have one breakout game. There's going to be one game where he just lights it up. Never came. Like, it never came. I need the 300-yard, 3-touchdown game. I need it because I need to see that you're capable of doing that. Because once you've done it, it's like, okay, you must be capable of doing it because you did it. And that's the thing that I'm going to say with Kyler Murray. I'm not expecting him to be consistent for 16 games this year. But I need to see a few games this year where he's special. Games, not quarters,
yes.
Not halves, games.
Moments, games.
And not moments, game. I need it. I need games. It doesn't have to be 8. It doesn't have to be 5. I need 3 games.
Right. Well, in any event,
he goes out there, and I don't even care who the opponent is, where he goes out there and he just can't be denied and he can't be stopped. And that to me is the signal, the sign that, okay, you've got something special here because look what he just did to that team. They had no answers for him. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't contain him. He owned it. He was the best player on the field that day. That's what we want to say.
Well, in any event, I don't think 0-16 would get Kingsbury fired, thus the Cardinals firing head coaches in a one-and-done scenario in 2 consecutive years. I just do not think Mike Bidwell would ever subject himself to that type of embarrassment. Cliff Kingsbury, he's got 2 years at least.
We'll see. I definitely agree. 2 years for this organization to get this system implemented and to start showing some success. The point guard fallout in the NBA. Man, once Kyrie goes, the dominoes could just fall. There could be so many veteran point guards that could become available. Would the Suns be interested in any of them? We'll talk about that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Guard fallout for the Phoenix Suns. I mentioned some point guards that, you know, they're looking at. TJ McConnell, Corey Joseph, but those guys are more likely, you know, they're more third string point guards that could get a chance, veteran guys that could come in here and play if they're not able to get the one that they want. Obviously, the home run would have been Ja Morant. That would have been the home run. But there are point guards that have come up. We've talked about a couple of them before. Mike Conley, Kyle Lowry, Lonzo Ball. You seem to like Conley. I just don't like Conley because of the contract, because of the injury, because of the age. And if it was a 1-year deal, I could deal with it. Like Kyle Lowry, if he became available, and I'm not saying he would, I would be more inclined for that to work because it's a 1-year deal. You could always trade him at the trade deadline if it's not working out. And then a year from now, he's gone, and he could be helping you develop. I think the Suns are going to move on from the Anthony Melton and Elia Kobo. I think they're going to move on from those guys. I think they're going to reshuffle the deck at point guard and get some better point guards in here.
I understand that Mike Conley doesn't fit the timeline. I get that. I get when Booker and Ayton and Bridges are all 26 and 27, and then LeBron James, Steph Curry, Durant, those guys are all playing golf in Vegas. I get that Mike Conley wouldn't be the point guard. But Gamble, this team is, they've won 87 games in 4 years. Okay, the winning has to start at some point. Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton have to start winning basketball games. They need guys that can play, veteran guys that know how to win.
There's no question.
They
and that's
need
what
a point
gonna get.
Guard.
They're going to get one.
Okay.
It may not be the caliber that you want. That's $35 million. It may be more of a
okay,
T.J. McConnell or a Corey Joseph.
But what I'm telling you is, you know, when they pissed away, you know, $50 million on Tyson Chandler and $30 million on Jared Dudley, when I say that, because they didn't win any games. Okay?
No.
So Robert Sarver's money went right out the window for those two guys, and it produced no victories. So if you're willing to spend $70 million on those guys, why not give Mike Conley $60 million for a couple of years and start putting some good vibes around this basketball organization?
Because it's a two-year deal. Because not
I get
only
that,
it,
but it's not our money. Who cares? Let's
because
win.
Because it ties up your cap money next year, too. You got $35 million on the book for a 33-year-old point guard.
Well,
like,
yeah.
You have to think about being able to. What if the Suns start to turn it around and get better?
We're talking about cap space for 8 years.
Yeah, well, I don't want to waste it on a 33-year-old guy with a bad Achilles.
Well, let's just keep winning 22 games a year then. This is great. This is really working.
No,
I mean,
listen,
sooner or later, you got to do something.
They did. They hired a veteran coach.
Well, I hope he can put the ball in the basket.
Experience. They got guys that can put the ball in the basket. They got Kelly Oubre. They got Devin Booker. They got DeAndre Ayton. They need to be coached. They need coach. They need defensive players. Listen, they need rebounders. They need a power forward, and they need a point guard. I just don't want to spend $70 million on a beat up, broken down point guard.
Right. I'm not. You know what? It's more for me the idea of Mike Conley. It's like if we have to overspend for a guy who can get the damn job done, let's do it. You know, because there's a lot of money thrown away on guys who didn't help you win. Okay, so for a couple of years, get this win total up into the high 30s or, God forbid, the low 40s.
What if I told you you can get Goran Dragic on a one-year deal for a fraction of that price?
He's not as good as Mike Conley, but, you know, okay, it's better.
Conley's one bad step away from being done. He's already said it. That Achilles goes again. He's done.
Aren't we all?
You.
Right.
Look at your age now.
Listen, how about we split the difference?
You want to split Kyle Lowry?
Kyle Lowry.
I love Lowry. If he's available, he'd be great.
$30 million, but it's 1 year.
We're not far off on our debate. I don't mind getting the older veteran point guard if it's a one-year deal. I just don't want it on 2 years because I don't want to give up the ability to do something next year. And you give up the ability to do something when you add $35 million in salary to your cap next year. Expiring contracts are fine. They have one right now with Tyler Johnson. What if you had, let's just say right now, Ramona Shelburne said, Kyrie Irving wanted to come to Phoenix.
I know, I heard that.
What if Anthony Davis wanted to come to Phoenix? Like, you just never know, a team is going to, if you were going to trade for a player, they're not going to want a guy, they're going to want an expiring contract. This year, if you were going to make a trade at the deadline, if the Suns started to play well and it was ability to get somebody, Tyler Johnson is an attractive piece because he's an expiring contract. Conley would not be because he's got a year left at $35 million.
I know, but it's not 5 years. It's 2 years.
But it takes you out of play next year. You're out of it.
I know, but I've been hearing about cap space, and Chris Paul is going to come here, and 10 years ago Kobe Bryant's going to come here, Dwight Howard's going to come here, and Kyrie.
You just want somebody. Is Conley going to come for the right reasons? I don't want another Trevor Ariza either, man.
Right.
I don't want another Trevor Ariza.
No, you don't want another Trevor Ariza. Conley's been a winner though. I guess Trevor Ariza was too.
If Conley gets moved, is he going to be happy coming to a team that won 19 games?
Let me change the subject completely. What about going after Kyrie Irving? James Jones has a relationship with Kyrie.
They will.
Giving him a max deal.
They will try.
And you ride or die with Devin Booker and Kyrie Irving as your backcourt for the next 5 years.
Yes.
And DeAndre Ayton in the middle. And you've been Bridges on one wing and whoever else on the other. And that's your team.
Yes. Yes, I'm telling you, they will look at it. They totally expect to look at it.
I think we should look at that.
They will look. No, but they will look at it. Now, they don't.
We as in the entire city.
It doesn't mean that they're going to get him. There's no, you know, it's very unlikely. He's going to go somewhere either to be closer to home or with championship aspirations. That's not Phoenix. Closer to home is the Nets or the Knicks. He's probably going to go to the Nets or the Knicks. I don't even think Boston wants him back. I really don't think Boston wants him back.
I would agree with that.
So, and I'm in touch with a lot of these teams. So I just don't, I don't think Kyrie would come here. Ramona Shelburne, we had her on the other day. She's the one that floated it. Like, you know, maybe running this team. You know, this team has some, like, if you're looking, you're like, you know what? If Oubre comes back and you got DeAndre and you got Booker and you got McHale and you got Monty as the coach, this team looks a lot better now than it looked in the past.
It sounds ridiculous when you compare a 17-win team to a 19-win team. But if Durant doesn't go to the Knicks, the Suns are a whole hell of a lot better option for Kyrie Irving than the Knicks.
What do they have? Kevin Knox?
What do they have?
Frank Ntilikina, Dennis Smith Jr. They don't have anything.
I mean, come on.
They don't have anything.
Irving could be the missing part of the engine that ignites Booker and Ayton, you know, to greater heights than we've seen certainly in the last couple of years, even for Booker. You know, listen, I guess James Jones, no stone can be left unturned. Right? There's
no,
a lot of options here.
You got to kick the tires on everything.
I guess what
don't look at Kyrie, I promise.
What I'm not in love with Gambo is just the Darius Garland, Kobe White, 19-year-old plug-in. Here's our point guard. He fits the timeline. Go out there, boys, and then go out there and get their butts kicked again.
No,
for 82
but they got
games.
They got the sixth pick, and if you can't trade it, you got to take a player. Like, so you have to take somebody. Might as well take somebody that could be a. It's called a slow build. It's somebody that they could just try to like. They have no intention on whatever point guard they draft of that guy being the starting point
guard. I have no problem with taking Garland or White to be the point guard of the future, but it can't just be you're our guy. Here's the ball.
It won't be
go.
No.
You take that guy and you get a Lowry or whoever. We've talked about
Would you Conley. Be okay with TJ McConnell or a Corey Joseph? Could you live with that?
It's better. Could I live with that? What are you then? How much better are you?
You have at least you have at least somebody.
I don't
and again,
know.
It's, those guys are not great. They're not great.
No, and to be fair, I don't know what Monty Williams is going to do with this mold of clay yet either. Before we start saying, well, they won 19, so what does McConnell bring you up to 26? Because I'm not sure that was a 19-win team last year.
He's a third-string point guard. Corey's a third-string point guard. A lot of these guys are third-string point guards. Now, on this team, they'd be better. You know, they'd be better. And that's the problem. Like, they need better than what they have. So, from the Suns' standpoint, it's get a veteran, draft a guy, build with them. I think Melton and Okobo are both very expendable. I don't know. You know, I would, you know, my bet is that neither one of those guys comes back. That's my bet, that neither one comes back, and they reshuffle the deck and get better point guards in here.
You know who would be great, but they'll never get him, is Kemba Walker. He's an unrestricted free agent.
That's you know how much cap space the Suns have right now?
Right, they'd have to dump. They'd have to jump Jackson.
They have $7.5 million right now.
Well, Tyler Johnson's $19 million not helping that. But yeah,
allows you to make a trade next year at the deadline.
Right,
because it's expiring.
Dragic, Ricky Rubio. Let me just give you some of the names. Like,
there's no way that they would take Rubio. No way.
I'm just throwing out names that are
go
that,
ahead.
Like in the light of the McConnells and
I love
and the Joseph.
He's got so much wear and tear on him, but I do love
right.
him.
Right. These are just if you're listening, these are the kind of names that could be a Derrick Rose, Ricky Rubio, Goran Dragic.
Boy, Derrick Rose would be great.
18 points a game last year.
He would be great.
When he played.
He would be great.
Could you imagine Derrick Rose?
I love Derrick Rose. I mean, what kind of contract would he want? I mean, I don't know that he's going to cost that much anymore. I mean, I love him. I would be all on board with Derrick Rose.
Do you know what Derrick Rose played for last year, contract-wise? $2 million.
Yeah.
18 points a game.
I love Derrick Rose.
And he played, you know, he did obviously injury problems.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, like, you know, if you get a guy to develop and you bring him in on a one-year deal, and you, I would even overpay him for 1 year.
When he
in.
Played, he showed flashes.
Oh, he was great.
Terry Rozier, another guy that.
I love Rozier. They don't.
But, right.
They don't, he had a bad year this year. He had a bad year.
And if they lose Irving, then
Boston
then
might keep him.
Danny might want to keep him anyway.
They might keep him.
So, I mean, that's what the names we're looking at. D'Angelo Russell, another name that's kind of been floated
out
there.
He's a
restricted free agent,
yeah,
though.
If the Nets get Anthony Davis, there'll be a sign-and-trade with New Orleans in which D'Angelo Russell goes for Anthony Davis. So if the Nets are able to get Kyrie and Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell will be the big piece going back to New Orleans. They'll have D'Angelo Russell and Jrue Holiday. Those two guys. D'Angelo is a good player, but he's going to want a lot of money. He's going to want a lot of money because he just had a major breakout year. But he's good. He's Booker's boy, too. But that's a boatload of money. He's good. He's more of a scorer than he is a playmaker, though.
Why do I get the – when you talk about Anthony Davis, I get the feeling, man, that Knicks are going to push that number three for Davis, and then all these – Kyrie and KD rumors, man. I could very easily see a big three of AD, KD, and Kyrie at Madison Square Garden next fall.
Oh God, I don't know how they would get the money for all those guys. Wow. Don't rule out the Nets.
Don't rule out the Nets.
Don't rule out Brooklyn, man.
Or Jersey.
They could because they have the players. They have the players that they could trade. They got D'Angelo. They got Caris LeVert. They got Harris. Like, they've got good players. They got Allen. They got two first-round draft picks. Don't rule out the Nets. All right, Zach Greinke got some good news on his MRI, but there is bad news for the D-backs. We'll talk about that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, presented by Ram Trucks, built to serve.
MRI came back clean, came back good. We're really excited about that. He did some really light tossing today. He's going to throw a bullpen tomorrow and give us more of an evaluation, more evaluation time. But we feel like he's in obviously a much better spot than Taiwan. And I'll get more information to you guys tomorrow.
All right, that is the update from Torrey Lovello. Good news on Zach Greinke. Nothing in the MRI. He's going to throw a bullpen tomorrow. He threw a little soft toss today, and he's going to throw a bullpen tomorrow. Can possibly make his start on Tuesday. Would be in line to make his next start. No, you know, no guarantees on that, but it's possible that he could make, depending on how he feels after the bullpen, that he could make his start on Tuesday. Could decide to hold him back a little bit, but the good news is he's not going to miss any extended time. The MRI did not show any damage.
And even if he misses a start on Tuesday, this is great news. No IL, no injured list. And remember when he had an injury similar to this back in 2016, you know, he missed, I want to say,
upwards of seven starts. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was a while.
Had that oblique injury. And, you know, he said this one felt similar, but it was a little bit lighter and a little bit different spot, but it was lighter. So he didn't feel like it was the one that he had in 2006. That was his first year with the Diamondbacks. He did not have a good year. He came in, he's making all this money, $200-plus million contract. And he had just come off a year with the Dodgers where I believe his ERA was like 1.6. His ERA with the Diamondbacks in his first year was over 4. It wasn't very good. So he was able to rebound from that. He had the injury that first year and, you know, hasn't had any injury since. He's been really good. And this year especially, man, he is pitching at a Cy Young level. He has been one of the best pitchers, if not the best in baseball since that first start against the Dodgers.
Since opening day, he's been virtually unbeatable. In fact, he's been unbeatable. Time now for the D-backs injury report brought to you by the Joint Chiropractic. Improve your quality of life with routine, affordable chiropractic care. Find one of over 30 locations by visiting thejoint.com. Today, the news not so good, however, on big Taiwan Walker.
Now, Taiwan Walker, who they were hoping to get back, you know, in sometime in June, he had a setback, and now you've got to question whether Taiwan Walker will even be able to get back at any point this year. It's a big blow for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and, you know, I've checked in with them to find out as much as I can, but it doesn't really impact anything over the next 4 to 5 weeks because he would have been rehabbing anyway. But this does push up they're having to address starting pitching depth in the future. It may not have been a big focus, but now it is. Now they are going to look to see if they can address the starting pitching depth because they no longer have Taiwan Walker that they can count on. Whether he pitches again this year or not, completely up in the air. This was a big setback for Taiwan Walker.
We need to stress it's the shoulder for Taiwan Walker.
Yes.
Let's get you set for tonight's pitching matchup. Brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. The pitching matchup tonight, Gambo. Jeff Samardzija, the Shark. Merrill Kelly for the D-backs, Giants and D-backs, coming up first pitch, 6:40.
Yeah, Merrill Kelly, you know, coming off of a real good start. He's 3-4 overall with a 4.70 ERA. His whip is 1.43. He's thrown 46 innings, struck out 36, walked 17, has given up 8 home runs. So Merrill Kelly's a guy you're looking to really step up right now. You've got Greinke, you've got Robbie Ray, and you've got Luke Weaver that have all pitched very well for them. But with Godley out, you are looking for better results out of your 4 and 5 starters. So this could be a big one for Merrill Kelly. And he's going up against a Giants lineup that, in all honesty, man, they got a lot of guys that can hit. I mean, they really do. I mean, you know, Panic's hitting 242. Posey's hitting 245. Belt's hitting 222. Crawford's hitting 208. Pilar's hitting 063. Williamson's hitting 185. They don't have anybody that's swinging the bats well outside of maybe Sandoval's hitting 282. It's not a good offensive lineup for the Giants.
Minus 39 run differential for the Giants. That's among the worst in the National League. The Giants 18-24 coming in. The D-backs through 44 are 24 up and 20 down, 4.5 back behind the first place L.A. Dodgers. Let's get you the keys to tonight's game presented by Chapman Ram. Take advantage of Ram's Bigger Things sale event going on now. Chapman Ram off the 101 and Indian School Road in Scottsdale.
Easy one for me. Samardzija's first inning has been a disaster. He's got an ERA of 12.38 in the first inning. All the other innings, 1.36. You got to jump on him early. Dyson getting on base would be key. He's allowed 11 first-inning runs in 8 starts. He's given up 6 home runs in the first inning. And again, that ERA in the first inning is 12.38. Whatever it is, he doesn't warm up well. He doesn't throw enough pitches. But he does not fare well in the first inning. So to me, I think it's trying to jump on him out of the gate. That first inning is where he struggles the most.
D-backs offense coming alive in their last 2 wins, averaging 10 runs a game. With the win tonight, they will get back to the 500 mark at home. As we know, despite being 4 games over 500 for the mark on the season, under 500 at home at Chase Field is not where they want to be. By contrast, the Dodgers 19-6 at Dodger Stadium. The D-backs right now 10-11 at Chase Field. A win tonight gets them back to even. All right. 11-11 on the year.
We want to thank everybody here at D-Bat in Avondale. A great place to come. It's on 1050 North Fairway Drive. D-Bat in Avondale. Bring your kids tonight. They got half off the batting cages. If you stop by, they're open till 9. DBatAvondale.com for more information. That's DBatAvondale.com. We'll get you set for the D-backs and the Giants next. Thanks, Tim, for filling in.
You bet.
We'll be back Monday at 2 o'clock sharp right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Have a good night, everyone.
Giddy up.